So we're in a series on the wisdom literature in Proverbs, and this morning I want to talk about the theme of friendship. So if you do quotes, if you look up quotes on friendship, and almost from any source, this one from Solomon shows up almost on every single one, no matter where you find it. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift his fellow, will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. He has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A cord, a threefold cord is not quickly broken." So, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes has a lot to say about friendship. But I just wonder, is friendship too trite a topic for Sunday morning? I mean, shouldn't we talk about something more serious? I mean, doesn't friendship just work like you like some people more than other people, and then so those people are your friends, right? Those are the people you invite to barbecue or to play football or to hang out and have a tea party with. But actually, when you look up online quotes about friendship, right next to the ones that say positive, there's a whole mess of negative quotes on friendship too. Gore Vidal says, "Whenever a friend succeeds, a little something in me dies." So that's one view of friendship. Anne Lindbergh says, "Men kick friendship around like a football, and it doesn't seem to crack. Women treat it like glass, and it falls to pieces." Right? There are some differences between how men interact with friendship and how women interact with friendship. But Eminem says, he probably had a little different life growing up than most of us do, but what are friends? Friends are people that you think are your friends, but they're really your enemies with secret identities and disguises to hide their true colors. So just when you think you're close enough to be brothers, they want to come back, cut your throat when you ain't looking. So, and I know actually from at least one of you had a bad friend week. And I know one of you at least had, I'm sure lots of us have different, have bad friend weeks and stuff, but I know personally one of you had a situation where a friend really severely disappointed you, where you felt the loyalty that you expected was in that friendship was kind of broken. You felt betrayed a little bit. And so I think friendship is actually much more complicated than we think, and Proverbs has some very good things to help us with. So I want to look at the complexity of friendship, the essence of friendship, and being a friend. And so Isaac, let me pray for us, and then Isaac Buster is going to come and read our passage for us. Father, would you speak to us this morning? Would you let your word not be trite, but would you speak to us words that we need to hear? And would you encourage us with your truth? Would you lead us by your grace? Would you work in us so that we might be better friends, that we might respond to you better, we might respond to each other, that we might have the resources to love the world you put us in? In Jesus' name, amen. Isaac. Proverbs 18:24. There's a lot in this one verse. The first thing you notice is that there's three characters here. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So at least there's three people we ought to think about. There's the companion, there's the friend, and there's the brother. You can have lots of companions, and they do no help for you at all. You still come to ruin. It's saying there's a friend is the one who helps you, but it also says a friend is closer than a brother. So, so it's introducing some tension in terms of friendship and brother. There's many cultures around the world that say, you know, blood is what matters, right? Your blood relative, that's where the truth is. Everyone else is abject. Everyone else in the end is forget about them. And ancient Near Eastern culture is one of those. Very hierarchical, very family-oriented. Here's the Bible going against that and saying that actually the true friend is a much greater value than the brother or sister. brothers and sisters are important. They're a gift from God. But when the chips are really down, if you want help in the variety of situations in life, the friend is the one that helps all the time. The word for friend here is very interesting. It's actually that literally it's the one who loves. And so there's a word for friend that's used in different contexts, but here the word is the one who loves, which is helps kind of define what we're talking about here in friendship. And so 17:17 affirms a lot of this. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. So talking about friendship in the 2011, we have to talk about digital friends, right? Right. That we have to talk about. And there's the articles that have come out over the last years are profuse, right? That Friendster wasn't very friendly, right? That the way to that Facebook discourages face-to-face friendships, and so Proverbs is kind of taking us back to perhaps saying something like analog friends are real friends, the ones that really count. So notice also from 18:24. The time when friends really matter is when the chips are down, right? When we're in trouble, right? A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer. So it's interesting. The time we need friends is when we're in trouble, but when do we make friends? Not usually when we're in trouble. We usually make friends when everything's good, right? We're like, oh, I'm having a good time. You're having a good time. You're fine. You're cool. So let's be friends. And so there's a little bit of a There's an anomaly there that we make friends when things are good, but friends are proven when we're in trouble. Of course, also the quality of friends is much more important than the quantity, right? 1,000 Facebook friends will leave you in the ditch, but your one true friend will come and take care of you, will help you. And then there's an aspect of kind of disappointment here, right? A man of many companions may come to ruin, right? You can have lots of companions and end up completely disappointed. Well, you can end up hurt and disappointed, right? Friendship always comes, part of what goes with friendship is that we are disappointed that people don't live up to our expectations of our friends. Right? I know one of you was very disappointed this week because the person you thought was a loyal friend wasn't, right? That loyalty was broken to some degree. And so why is it that we even think about, why is it we ever have disappointment with friendship, right? Why do we expect friends to do so much for us? I think there's something of it, it goes back to Genesis 2 in the garden. If you look at the first quote, the first line at the top of the bulletin, then the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Very interesting that, right, after we saw last week, good, very good, 7 times in Genesis 1, and then in Genesis 2, we get still in the perfectness of creation before sin enters in, that it wasn't good that the man was alone. So there's an aspect of relationship with God is crucial and critical, and yet we need more than that. We were created to need more than that. And so we were actually created to need and desire and to have friends that are loyal to us. The next piece we see here is that we do choose our friends, right? We don't choose our brother and sister, but we do choose our friends. And especially with we have the second and the fifth graders with us, right? And so they're all of us who are cynical, old people with cynical friends with friendships. So they're in the process of building friends. And so one of the things it says here is in 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Kids, who you choose as friends makes a difference, right? If you choose a wise person and you walk with them, you hang out with them, you actually become a little bit wiser. But if you choose a fool to be your companion, you'll end up suffering harm in the end. So how you choose your friends makes a difference. And so that's part of why friendship is in the wisdom literature, right? Because it's not just like do the right thing, live make the right choice. Choosing your friends is one of these things that's in between. It's not a moral decision. It's in between the poles of right and wrong. It's like you need wisdom. You could choose this person, and this person to be your best friend. And it takes wisdom to figure out who should I pick. 22:24 says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. If you choose someone who has extremes of emotion or can't control their temper, it's going to affect you. It's going to change your relationship. It might even change you. So we need wisdom in choosing our friends. So what's the essence of friendship? I think it starts with 3:3-4. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but profuse are the kisses of an enemy. I think there's three essences to faithfulness. One is love, right? It's in 1824, it's the friend is the one who loves. It's a participle of the verb love. It's the one who actually does love is friendship. And so love is one of the essences of friendship. The next one is faithfulness, loyalty, commitment, right? That's where we get disappointed most of the time, right? That our friend isn't as loyal as we thought they would be. That when we really needed them, they didn't show up. And then, so love, faithfulness, or loyalty, and then one that we don't think of all that often, perhaps, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. A real friend tells us the truth for our own good, even when it's going to hurt us. Right? Friends wound us, but they wound us in faithful ways. It's odd to put wound and faithful together, but they're willing to say to us what we need to hear, even if they know it's going to hurt us initially. They're willing, in a sense, to do surgery, right? They're willing to cut in order to heal. And so that's another part of what a true friend does, right? There's many people that, there's many maybe enemies or companions that will tell us all kinds of good things, but they won't tell us the thing that we really need to hear so that we change or so that we avoid problems or so that we become more like who God wants us to be. So we see it also in 28:23. Whoever rebukes a man will afterwards find more favor than he who flatters with the tongue. So you shouldn't choose friends that just flatter you, because those are the friends that most likely won't be around when you need them. And you know, it's interesting. People, there's a certain dynamic that if you're really in need of help, if you are really struggling with a relationship or with depression or a really critical job thing situation, who do you ask for help? You think of, who are my friends? Do you go find the friend who flatters you, who just agrees with you? No, you go find the person that tells you the truth, even when you don't like it, even when you you're worried of what they might say to you. But you want to know what's really real. You want a friend that's going to tell you, who's going to contradict you, right? If you're wrong. So speaking the truth to friends is one of the things that I think we struggle the most with. So that requires a great amount of courage. It requires a great amount of actual trust. There has to be loyalty, right? Because you're consuming a little bit of the loyalty when you tell that friend the truth. And oftentimes it kind of tests and proves the relationship there. So what does it mean to be a friend? Part of what being a friend to others is, it relates to our own character. If you look at 22:11, he who loves purity and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend. So someone who actually has the character of purity of heart, to someone that is righteous and that is you can tell this person is good, right? And this person can speak graciously. They can tell me the truth in ways that I can receive and that will help me. The king who can be friends with anyone. The king wants that person as a friend. And so a lot of our own friendship has to do with, what kind of character do I have? Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. If our own character is suffering, we might attract friends that we don't actually want in the end. But if God is changing us, then even the king will want to be our friend. Oil and perfume, 27:9. Oil and perfume make the heart glad. The sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. That's interesting because, right, that earnest counsel is sometimes perhaps the most hard time in a friendship, and yet Proverbs is saying that's the sweetness. Being a friend means actually that you are in such close life with each other that you help each other, right? 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Right? So friendship is not like just the distant niceties. It's biblical friendship is when we're close enough with each other that we end up sharpening, right? There has to be friction for there to be this sharpening. And then 26:18-19 is an interesting passage because this happens a lot in our culture, and yet I don't think we downplay how important it is. Look at this image, like a madman throwing firebrands, arrows, and death. It's a man who deceives his neighbor and then says, I'm only joking. Right? So there's a part of humor that's like you represent one thing in one way, then you redirect it, or you say, I'm only joking. But with true friends, true friends don't do that. Right? True friends realize that kind of real bait and switch undermines loyalty because it's like, it either can be like you diss someone and then you cover yourself up by saying, oh, I'm only joking, but you really meant what you said, or it's I'm getting some benefit from the crowd at my friend's expense, right? And so I cover it up by saying, I'm only joking. And so real friends treasure the loyalty and commitment to each other in such a way that we don't try to get points at the expense of our friends or even our companions, and then cover it up with saying, I'm only joking. So I wonder actually if we could paint the big story of the Bible in terms of friendship. I think in one way we can, because we looked at Genesis 2:18, that in some ways friendship is part of creation, right? That Adam needing someone, needing Eve, someone that's very much like him, is that human connectedness on the deepest level in terms of with intimacy and good communication and perfect loyalty is part of how we've been created. So we are created for friendship. If you think about falling into sin, I've read a couple sermons recently have posited the question, was Adam next to Eve when she took the apple? There's maybe some clues in the text that he was. If he was, then sin is a failure of friendship. Right? Adam didn't have the courage to tell Eve, no, don't do this. He didn't have the courage to come alongside and help him see that, help her see that she was being deceived even in that moment. And he, in a sense, probably broke friendship with God as well, because God said, here, I'm giving to you this Adam, this command, don't eat of the tree. He didn't give the command to Eve, he gave it to Adam. So in some ways, perhaps even sin coming into the world, rebellion against God, is a failure of friendship in one way or another. And then redemption, Jesus puts redemption in terms of friendship. In John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friend. You are my friend if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For, For all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. Jesus is our King. He's our Creator, right? He's our Redeemer. He's the one that His Word, He does wound us faithfully, right? He corrects us, He drives us. But Jesus chooses to use the word friend. He doesn't have to, but He chooses to do so. And then I think if you look at the second quote on the top of the bulletin, in some ways, mission, I think, is being put in terms of friendship here as well. The mission that we're all called to as followers of Jesus. He says, "You've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. For He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." I think in a sense, Jesus is giving this example of selfless friendship, of a friendship that actually loves others in the world, not just companions, not just those who love us, not just the things that benefit us, but He's putting forward friendship and the selfless love, the selfless loyalty to others as a model of the mission He wants His people to fulfill in this world. And so Hebrews 2:14 sums up a lot of how of the gospel in terms of friendship, the gospel in terms of love. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it's not angels that He helps, but He helps the offspring of Abraham." Notice that Jesus could have chosen to be friends with anyone, right? He could have chosen to be friends with the angels. But Jesus chose to be friends with us. He chose to do what that one true friend does. He leaves His place of comfort. He puts down what He wants to do or what He was doing, and He comes after His friend in need. Jesus saw are that we are under the power of death, that fear had gripped us, that slavery has gripped us. Therefore, He was made like His brothers in every respect, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of His people. Propitiation means that actual exchange, right? Propitiation argues against the words that just mean Jesus just forgave us, right? Or God just said, oh, it's okay. Right? That's kind of companion talk. Oh, it's okay, no problem. The friend is the one that goes and pays for you. And Jesus paid for us. The exchange took place. Jesus paid the price we ought to have paid. The debt that we had that we were in slavery over. And He gave us His rightness. That Jesus was the true model of friendship for us. For because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He's able to help those who are being tempted. And so, therefore, Jesus is the friend that has those wise words for us, words that oftentimes wound us. But He's been through what we are going through, and so He's able to help us. I think it's helpful to just think that Jesus didn't have to come, right? He didn't have to be friends for us. He didn't have to interpose. He didn't have to pay our price. And He could have just been friends with the angels, but He chose to be friends with us. And that's what friends do, right? We choose our friends. And so let's when we struggle with having the courage to be the friends we need to be, the friends that Scripture would call us to be, but the friends that you and I need, right? Our need is great for friends that actually are willing to come and to be completely loyal to us, to show us true love, and to speak the words that we really need to hear. And I think it's hard to find the resources to do all that, to be those true friends. But the only way we'll ever find those resources is to realize how Jesus models it for us but also Jesus gives us that resource to draw off of his rightness, his freeing us from death and fear and slavery. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you chose to have friendship addressed in your word. Lord, thank you that you model friendship for us. Thank you that you enable true friendship for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have the wisdom to navigate friendship in this world. I pray also that you'd show us how to draw on your resources, that we might be crazy friends, that we might be friends to each other that are so loyal that others would say, you're crazy. And that we might be friends to people that don't know you in this world in such a way that they're amazed and awed, and that we are able to point to you as the one who enables it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.